This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChooseProMavera.com.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Goff on first down, firing downfield for Williams. He's got it! Jamison Williams into the end zone, touchdown, 82 yards!
And now, live on 670 The Score and on the Odyssey app, it's Anthony Herron, former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye, football analyst for 670 The Score, Fox Sports, SiriusXM, Big Ten Network, and NBC Sports. Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
That's me. Appreciate you, big voice guy. Appreciate all of you listening in. This is the Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Taking you up to Sunday Night Football coverage here on The Score. Tonight, the Cowboys host the Buccaneers on Sunday Night Football. Pregame coverage is coming up at 6:30 and kickoff at 7:15 right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. Got my fellow Hawkeye, Alex Cohn, on the ones and twos for me. Until that time. So I am here, and you are here with me as well at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Another defeat for the Bears, this one again at the hands of the Detroit Lions. A little different with it coming at home because there was no truly furious comeback for the Bears. They got down early, they got down often, they stayed down throughout. They swung a few times. I wouldn't necessarily term much of it as haymakers that were thrown by the Bears, but did continue to go out there and compete throughout the contest, 34-17, that final score. I don't want to spend the entire show, the entire hour plus that we have here together, being hopeless, being uber negative about things. I think we're beyond at that point. Many of us a little while ago kind of resigned ourselves to the fate of what this Bears season would be. So I'm not going to tell you that you couldn't or shouldn't call in with complaints about the Bears, because they have certainly earned plenty of complainable sort of reactions to what's been going on here. But I'm going to take some time between now and the start of Sunday Night Football to search for some of the storylines beyond the young quarterback, beyond the coaching search, that may or may not be positive about. I'm at least going to start to sift through this roster a little bit with a forward-looking approach to what this offseason will hold and what's to come over the next weeks and months for the Bears as this roster will go through whatever it goes through. That's going to be up to the next regime that comes in here. But 312-644-6767 is the phone line. I see some of you already lighting things up here wanting to discuss what has been happening with the Chicago Bears. So let's go ahead and get out to some of these callers who have been patiently on hold so far. I see Let's see, Mike is out there in Niles. Mike, what's happening? You're on the Post Show.
Hey, how you doing, guys? So I just wanted to say that it was my first game in 12 years, and I was on the earlier show. I was on hold for a while, but Olin Krutz said that it's been 12 years, and my last game that I was there was actually in 2006 when Olin Krutz was playing, and it was the Bears San Francisco, and they won 41-10, and Rex Grossman threw three touchdown passes in the first half. I mean, they put up all 41 points in the first half. It was a great game. And that was the first excitement I had was I was in the north end zone today, and it was Caleb Williams to Roma Dunze in the right side of the end zone. Great pass. It was just very impressive to see that again in that stadium. But that whole environment that we were all in was just so depressing when they had the whole thing with Lions fans filling three-quarters of the stadium. And it's just depressing that we're in this environment now where you have these two energetic rookies that are doing amazing things, and we can't support them with ownership, general management, or coaching.
All right, I hear you on that, Mike. I do, and I appreciate you making the call to the Post Show here on The Score, 312-644-6767. And, you know, many of you know I played for the Detroit Lions for several years. And, you know, in my time in Detroit, it didn't get much worse than the franchise that was the Detroit Lions during that period. You know, we started 0-12 one year, struggled again my second year there. They fired Marty Mornhinweg, bring in Steve Mariucci. Things were a little bit up and down during the time that Mooch was there leading things for Detroit. But there was never any consistency, you know, certainly never any dominance from Detroit that was extended over any lengthy period of time. You had highlight reel players. Barry Sanders predated me, but certainly had, you know, Hall of Fame caliber guys on each side of the ball at various points. And in the midst of the some of the individual talent that was there, even think about the career that Matthew Stafford put together for so many years in Detroit, never sustained any team success, didn't win playoff games and the like. But now we're seeing over the last couple of years here what Detroit has become. And so again, I suppose just in the glasses half full, just in trying to look at a positive spin on this situation here, the Lions are essentially who the Bears are hoping to be when they grow up. Now, when Matt Eberflus was hired by the Bears, you could make a comparison between sort of the early impressions of Dan Campbell in Detroit, you know, the culture guy as a coach. And at least Eberflus had actually been a coordinator on the defensive side of the football for a number of years. Dan Campbell had never even been a coordinator. But both guys who reviewed their leadership style wasn't necessarily about schematic dominance. The guys who were supposed to come in and help to shape the culture of their particular franchise and their image. We've seen it take hold in Detroit with the way that Dan Campbell has been running things, how he's been operating there. And whether it ends up being Ben Johnson as the OC or if there's another option as the Bears are considering these things, you know, heard a lot about Ron Rivera here leading into the weekend, you know, as far as just a name that'll be worthy of consideration. Who knows how he'll be received and perceived, but we've certainly seen him show himself as a leader in multiple franchises as a head coach. Certainly has been here not only as a player, but as an assistant coach with the Bears in years past. There'll be a bunch of options. You know, does it definitively need to be an offensive guy that comes in for the Bears? No, I don't believe it definitively needs to be an offensive guy. It needs to be someone who will come in, have a vision for this franchise, shape it effectively in his image, and hire good assistants that will go along with that as well. But I understand caller Mike and some of that frustration that's there, that block of time between the two games 12 years ago and then going out there again today. And even just through the context of Roma Dunze, you know, Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze, some of that excitement that caller Mike was talking about there, just in evaluating the young talent that was on display there at Soldier Field today. I felt like it was one of Caleb's more consistent games as a passer. The consistency specifically of his reads, of his decisiveness, really liked a lot of what I saw from Caleb in that regard today. In the end, it still only led to 17 points. And that's where, you know, consistency at QB decisiveness at QB, accuracy at QB. I felt like all those things were on display from Caleb today in 26 out of 40, 334 yards, couple of touchdown passes, no interceptions. And when I was on across the street from my guy Lou Kanellis, we were doing post-game coverage over at Fox 32, one of the things we discussed a little bit pregame came up again during some of our postgame coverage, just in, you know, Caleb Williams, the pride he takes in not throwing interceptions. Jonathan Vilma was talking about it during the Fox broadcast today as well. And, you know, it's worthy of quarterbacks taking pride in not throwing picks, but that balance for Caleb is something I do believe he continues to work through. And the context of this ends up mattering. Because there's been a bunch of games here, whatever it's been. What is it, Alex? 8 games in a row, 9 games now, something like that.
I hate to say this, but it's been 9 games, and what's the losing streak?
Exactly.
I'm just saying, you know, I'm not saying those things are related,
right?
But
you can certainly make a case that they are. And, you know, to go 9 games without a pick, that is a noteworthy streak. It's something worthy of being proud of, while at the same time, with all these things, I try to remind all of you of the context of that. I've made the case here on The Score and on other platforms that I would like to see moments where Caleb takes more risks. Now, a lot of those examples that I do feel like, you know, opportunities are missed, the context of that is when there are open receivers right there up the seam that he's not throwing the football to because he doesn't see it or because he doesn't trust it, and he's holding the ball and he's taking sacks. In today's game, Caleb gets sacked only twice, and there were big stretches of the game where he was unharassed in the pocket. The game plan for Thomas Brown called for a lot of quick passes. The passing attack was a bit lateral at times. And then what ended up happening? The Bears got down by multiple scores, some self-inflicted wounds, the fumbles from Roma Dunze on back-to-back series. Detroit immediately capitalizes on those. They put points on the board. And now when the Bears are down multiple scores, we did see a version of Caleb, a version of this Bears passing offense. And what's become a consistent refrain is once they're trailing or once the game is nearing cold crust depth and you're getting down the stretch there and you get into the latter third and into the fourth quarter where you're in YOLO mode essentially, and that passing acumen takes over where he's got to go for the gusto. And I would say that seems to be a familiar refrain in those moments and in some of those examples from those games. Today, being down multiple scores in a Bears defense that was struggling to contain that Lions offense and all the talent that they have there between Goff and St. Brown and Gibbs and Laporta, go Hawks, you know, a bunch of different playmakers that Detroit has access to. They're putting points on the board. They're capitalizing on what the opportunities that are being gift wrapped to them by the Bears with the fumbles that were going Detroit's way. And so now the Bears offense, in being down, you're passing the football with more volume, haven't been able to find a rushing attack lately anyway, but that's where, you know, latter stages of the second quarter, back-to-back balls, 25-yarder to DJ Moore, bang, 45-yard hole shot to Keenan Allen, beautiful pass, back-to-back snaps, only 58 seconds on the clock when they got that rock, and they put the ball right in the end zone. So you see the talent that's there, and like I mentioned, I felt like today's game was a nice example of, I'd say, as consistently decisive and accurate as we've seen Caleb at many of the points this season. I'm not going to say I think it's his best game as a Bear or anything like that, but one of his most controlled and consistent games as a passer, as a Bears quarterback, and yet still it only leads to 17 points. So, you know, what does that end up meaning? I'm not going to act like I've got all the answers for that, but I did like a lot of what I saw from Caleb today. Unfortunate that Roma Dunze ends up putting the ball or being involved in putting the ball on the ground twice. That first handoff, because I love the fact that Thomas Brown looked to get the ball to Roma Dunze in a similar fashion to the way DJ Moore has gotten utilized here, because I do believe Dunze has some of those similar skills where, you know, he's got more of your sort of classic wide receiver frame and route running ability. He's a little smoother and more fluid in his movement skills and with his ability to extend his hands away from his frame and go get the ball. He does some of those things more naturally, more rhythmically by comparison to DJ Moore. But I do think just within their style of play and with the versatility of their ability, there are things worthy of comparison between DJ and Rome. And while Rome certainly isn't as powerful, as elusive as DJ Moore is, you know, DJ has some of those running back type skills when he gets the ball in his hands. I wouldn't go that far with Rome, but I do like the fact that they looked to hand the ball to Roma Dunze, and it's unfortunate that it just didn't go well. Whatever happened in that exchange at the mesh point, Caleb's trying to hand the jet sweep to Roma Dunze, ball ends up on the ground, points on the board for Detroit. Then you got another one. Let's get Rome back involved on the next series. Nice play design, use a little bit of eye candy. You get Rome out in space, he bursts into the open field, then balls on the ground yet again, back to Detroit, more points on the board for the Lions. So you've put yourself behind the eight ball. Bears are just swimming upstream throughout the remainder of the game from that point. But as they got down multiple scores, it did lead to, I think, some of what we've seen in other times where the passing attack and the approach for Caleb does become a bit more aggressive. And it was a controlled aggression. He wasn't putting the ball in harm's way. And I like the decisiveness and the accuracy that he threw it with, as I referenced a moment ago. 312-644-6767. Let's get some more callers in here before I take my first time out. I see Leon is out in Gary. He wants to talk about where the Bears are at with this coaching situation. Leon, what's happening? You're on the Post Show.
Well, good evening to you guys. I'm enjoying your show. But like I was saying, if you own the football team, the main thing you're trying to do is make money. And as long as you got those butts in the seats, TV, radio, you doing what? Making money. Those Bears, the organization, ain't going to pay a coach no heck of a buck to come down. They're going to give you what they can. They can get you cheap, fine. They won one Super Bowl, 85, and act like they did. One of the greatest teams that ever played the game of football. I mean, you know, they should have kept Fields. Anytime defense sit up and get and they figure that their team is up 20, 30 points, what they going to do? They're going to sit back. They're not going to play tight and hard like they usually do when the game is even, because they figure they're going to win the game. Then you look up and all of a sudden you scatter, run right up the middle. I don't know, understand these coaches. Every play, you're going to run it right up the middle. Everybody and their mama laying on the ground waiting on you. Instead of, especially at the one-yard line, you get the ball at the one-yard line, you go back 5 yards and hand it to the running back. It really don't make no sense, but, hey, that's football. You know, I'm not one of the coaches. But they talking about who they firing or whatever. They got rid of loser flu, as I call him. And the CEO or whoever is running the show in Chicago, they're going to give you what you got there in Chicago. So, hey, you all either get up off your butts and stop putting your money out there until they put some money out and get a good coach. For years, the Bears always holler about defense, defense. You still got to put some points on the board. You can't stop everybody.
Hey, Leon, I'm curious because I do think it's a really interesting point you're making about folks still spending their hard-earned money, so whether or not the team needs to invest in it in the same way. When's the last time you've been to Soldier Field for a Bears game?
A friend of mine had a birthday. They gave him a birthday thing and gave us all the cards to go to the football game.
Okay, when was how long
one
ago
time.
Was that?
I've been to Soldier Field one time. that was way back in the 80s.
Okay.
One time.
All right. Now, I appreciate
Bulls,
you. I appreciate you making
way.
That call. Yeah. And that's
okay. But hey, if I own the team like that and you study coming giving me your money, hey, come on, baby. Come on up in there.
I like that point that Leon, the caller Leon, is making there. And you know what? I'd say there's a difficult balance to that. Because Leon makes a really valid point, a really logical observation. How motivated is the team? In the NFL, you only have so many football games available. You know, now the game has gone to a 17-game regular season. You're either going to get 8 home games in a regular season in the NFL or 9 home games. So that's the amount of opportunities you have to go out and enjoy yourself at Soldier Field. It is a little bit different. Much higher volume of games if you're trying to go out to the United Center or if you're going out to Rate Field, as it will now be called, or if you're going to go out to Wrigley. Bigger volume of games. Dozens and dozens of opportunities to go see the NBA or Major League Baseball or the NHL if you're going to the UC for that too. Football, if you do enjoy going to Soldier Field, if you just like the idea of going and sit out there, you tailgate a little bit, you go and check things out, then that can be difficult for a lot of folks to resist. And there are so many people who have continued to go out there in support of these Bears, even in off seasons leading into things that didn't have the buildup and the excitement that this one did. But the caller Leon is making the point, I think, again, it's a logical point. how do the fans play a role in trying to motivate the Bears to operate differently than they have, to seek more success than they have? Now, I don't want to discount the point he's making, because I do feel like the Bears, when they look to go get a head coach, I feel like they're going to be willing to go pay a head coach. My bigger concern is the evaluation of that individual that they bring in. But you know, I don't know exactly what they paid Matt Nagy. But when they went and got Matt Nagy, he was one of the, you know, it seems odd to think this way in retrospect because of what happened and how he ran things when he got here. But at the time, Matt Nagy was coming off Super Bowl championships. Matt Nagy was viewed as the next great Andy Reid disciple that was going to go lead a franchise to a Super Bowl. And so they did. Whatever they had to pay him, I'm betting it was a pretty penny they paid to get Matt Nagy to come in here. So, I mean, we have seen examples. John Fox, he had led multiple franchises to Super Bowl appearances before. They had to pay John Fox when they went and got him. So I don't necessarily believe that the finances of hiring a coach, and I've heard this frequently. Leon isn't the only person who said that to me. He just happened to be saying it here on The Score. But I have had a variety of people, whether it was worried that the Bears wouldn't move on from Matt Eberflus, or now worried whether or not the Bears are going to be willing to pay for a quality coach. I'm of the opinion that the finances will not be a limiting factor in that. I think there's enough to evaluate with how the Bears are operating right now to think that that's not going to be the case. How will they evaluate that individual? How will they go about that interview process? What we're seeing the Bears in the midst of right now certainly seem to be a lot of fault within the interview, the evaluation of the coaches, whether it's Eberflus or Waldron. Even go back to multiple assistants from last season that had to be relieved of their duties. The evaluation of the coaches that have been brought in recent years, that to me is more concerning than the idea that the McCaskies won't be willing to spend the money. I feel like there's enough evidence they'll be willing to spend the money. Now, what is top dollar for a modern NFL coach? I don't know. But I think they're going to be willing to go out and spend what it costs to get someone. But they've got to evaluate that individual correctly. Just like you go through the pre-draft process, you're trying to evaluate who you're going to take with the number one overall pick, who you're going to invest in the first round and all these rounds that you're drafting talent as players. When you're acquiring talent as coaches that are responsible for developing this talented quarterback who's right now finishing up his rookie season, the other playmakers, and one of the reasons I'm going to get into talking about the roster, the specific way that I'm going to discuss the Bears roster in a bit here on the Post Show, is through the lens of some of the younger players on this roster, the guys 3 years or less on this Bears roster, because they are the ones that right now, if they're in the lineup, are vying for, trying to showcase that they should continue to be a part of this future for the Bears. And when you're talking 3 years or less, there's every reason to believe that there's still opportunities for those players at that stage early in their career to continue ascending, to continue developing. So that's what I'm going to focus on when I get a bit later in the show here. I do want to get another couple of callers in before I take my first time out, though. Folks have been on hold waiting for the opportunity to get involved on the Post Show. Let's go out to Jeff, who is in Arlington Heights right now. We'll talk on the Post Show. Jeff, what's happening?
Hi, Anthony. You know, I'm going to cut it right to the chase. The team sucks. The organization sucks. When you lose 9 in a row, there's nothing going on in the field that's good. And when I hear sportscasters like you, who I happen to love listening to, I think you're great, and other sportscasters and even the teammates, when they say, oh, well, you know, he ran a great route, he made a great catch, he protected the ball. Well, what the hell? That's what they're supposed to be doing. That's their job to do that. So when you say, oh, that he ran a great route, made a great catch, when you say, it sounds like, oh, gee, that's so unique because the Bears don't know how to do that. That's their job to protect the ball, to run a good route, to make a good catch, to protect the quarterback. There's nothing good about this team when you lose 9 in a row. And I will thank you, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you, Anthony.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it, man. You know, I think your perspective on how to evaluate things and how to discuss, you know, in what ends up being whatever it is, 130-something snaps of football that get played throughout a game, that's not the manner I discuss it in, that there is nothing positive worth pointing out. But I'm certainly not going to, you know, try to begrudge you from evaluating things in that way as the Bears continue in this 9-game losing skid, because it is difficult to see much, if any, positive in what's going on here. But here's the thing, and I think that, you know, it's important to I think, at least evaluate or recognize what the Bears are going to be tasked with. And this is why, as I get a little bit later in the post show here, I'm going to talk about some of the other players, some of the youth on this roster, because there are guys who will need to be evaluated by the Bears brass. If Ryan Poles continues on, and he's certainly the guy who's acquired all the talent that's currently on the roster. I mean, you know, certain guys who, you know, predate Ryan Poles, but as far as just determining if they continue in their time as Bears or who's gotten that bag, like Jalen Johnson, Cole Kmet, and the like, there's some guys who predate Ryan Poles who've been paid, or some guys who've been acquired. The majority of them have been acquired since he took over as general manager for the Bears. But the way this roster will have to be shaped moving forward will involve the idea of whether or not the players that are on it are the ones who will be a part of this potentially, this hopeful winning future that the Bears are looking to embark on. So they're not in a position where they're allowed to only look at the negative as they evaluate the roster. So the way I try to discuss these things is not only through the lens of what's going wrong, as you've all heard me point out plenty of times here, but what are some of those things that are going right? I don't understand why Karan Amagaji did not dress for this game. I don't know. There's one thing to look at it and say that he struggled in his first career start on the road at Minnesota against one of the top defenses in the National Football League. I agree with that. But when you evaluate the 63 snaps of offense that the Bears played, and some of those moments, like the one of the touchdown passes, I was pointing it out on Marquee Sports Network in postgame last week. The touchdown pass that Caleb threw to Keenan Allen late in the game last week, a bunch of guys, and as the Vikings were coming after Caleb on that particular play, bunch of guys had help. Bunch of guys had two-on-ones. Not Karan Amagaji. Karan Amagaji had to hold up one-on-one against a talented pass rusher in Dallas Turner who had a sack in that game. But he held up with his one-on-one block, gave Caleb Williams time to throw that touchdown pass. And when you evaluate every snap of that film and 63 snaps, Karan Amagaji didn't get his tail kicked on 63 out of those 63 snaps. But there were some huge mistakes. There were some big gaffes that he made. There's technical errors, errors in execution, mental lapses, and you're on the road in this noisy environment. So you got a healthy Braxton Jones. Yes, start your starting left tackle. Larry Borum is available. Okay, sure, you're making that decision. But in the end, Karan Amagaji not dressing in this game, it surprised me. It's not the way I would have gone about it unless there was some other physical limitation that Amagaji had coming out of the previous contest.
Would you try to get him snaps at guard if it were up to you?
It's usually not that simple, you know, because guard and tackle, I think it's a valid question, Alex. Guard and tackle are different positions, of course.
Definitely.
And what's required of you being a guard versus being a tackle is different. And I don't know that Karan Amagaji has ever played guard before. So now with, you know, 3 weeks remaining in the regular season, it's certainly not a move I would make right now. But however you evaluate his physical capability to be a guard, is he a guy who, you know, at guard, one of the, I guess, the simplistic ways I would describe one immediate difference. In the run game, as a guard, you have to immediately be able to get into a defensive tackle and attempt to move what's a more massive individual than what you'll have from edge defenders, move them immediately against their will, which means you got to be able to create ground-based power out of your stance at a moment's notice, whereas as a tackle, there's more space between you and those edge defenders. Quite frequently, you do have a couple of steps that you're able to generate force, power, leverage coming out of your stance as a tackle versus as a guard. So I don't know if he's ever played guard before, but if they evaluate that Amagaji is the type of guy who may have that ability, then sure. I think it makes sense to have him as a tackle. Not that he's a good tackle yet, but just in evaluating his frame, his athleticism, he strikes me more as a tackle. He was certainly evaluated in the draft as an offensive tackle. So just because I think it's kind of a knee-jerk thing, and you're certainly not the only one who's framed it this way or posed this question, but it is a bit knee-jerk to see a guy make one career start and say, well, that went poorly as a tackle, so they should bump him into guard. It's not that simple to even evaluate his future as a lineman, let alone even determine whether or not it makes more sense for him. Is he better off as a guard or a tackle? There's a lot that kind of goes into it. But fair question, and you're certainly not the only one who's asked it. Let me get a timeout here, and I see that we got Fred, who's on the line on hold right now. We'll keep the phone lines open at 312-644-6767. I want to talk in more detail about Caleb with some of the questions that are there with the Bears quarterback. And as I mentioned, going to get into just evaluating the youth on this Bears roster and just where it can be moving forward because of how the Bears brass, you know, whether it's Ryan Poles or someone else who's in here trying to determine what this Bears roster will look like moving forward. The youth that's on this roster, especially the youth that hasn't had to get a big payday yet, you need depth on your roster. And right now, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of it that's showing up for the Bears. So I'm going to go through offensively, defensively, some of the younger guys on this team, because we spend, understandably, a lot of time talking about the quarterback, talking about the coaches, talking about the schemes. You've heard me evaluating those things positively and negatively. But we're certainly beyond the point now where we know it's going to be about the offseason for the Bears and how they handle those things. We've got a lot of evidence on some of the younger guys, some of the youth and experience on this squad, recent draft picks, recent acquisitions. I want to get into some of that as we continue through the show as well. So I'll do that throughout the post-post show here. Make sure you tune in all day tomorrow for a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Bosch Power Tools and Busey Bank. Mully and Hall will have full reaction to the game starting at 5:30 a.m. I'm Anthony Herron. Got my guy Alex Kuhn on the ones and twos. Take a quick timeout. Come back. Get back out to the phone lines at 312-644-6767. It's a post-post show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Second down at 9. Odunze will pick up a Bears first down. Takes it all the way.
Ball's out. Looks like the ball came out.
Ball came loose. Lions have recovered. Second Chicago turnover. Odunze involved in both.
That was an unfortunate turn of events there. Roma Odunze put the ball on the ground, back-to-back drives. Detroit converted each of those to points. They heard the voices of Kenny Albert, Jonathan Vilma on the call there for Fox Sports. Appreciate the audio from Fox, NFL on Fox, on the call. They got to talk to Kenny a little bit before the game today on pregame coverage over on Fox 32. And, you know, we're talking through some of that comparison between Jared Goff, former number one overall pick, you know, rough start to his time with the Rams. And that was Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher was the coach with the Rams as Jared Goff began his career, and then they transitioned to Sean McVay, and things really took off, and Goff earned the second contract and helped lead them to a Super Bowl appearance. Then they made the trade, get Matthew Stafford, more talented guy, and I would say both teams probably pretty happy with how that trade ended up working out. But Jared Goff was that guy, and Kenny Albert was telling myself and Cassie Carlson, Luke Kanellis before the game today, just that he and Jonathan Vilma got to talk to Jared Goff specifically about that. Some of those, not only the pressure of expectation, but the pressure to perform immediately as a rookie quarterback in the National Football League, how quickly you're expected to get up to speed and what all is associated with that, especially when things around you don't feel like there's continuity, when it doesn't always feel like, you know, that offensive system or the playmakers or the fan base, like everything isn't necessarily working in conjunction to your success. It can be a lot to figure out as a rookie, especially with the expectations associated with being the number one overall pick. But we've seen that career trajectory of Jared Goff. And between he and Carson Wentz, you know, when Goff came out, I certainly wasn't under the impression that Wentz was just going to, you know, go somewhere and fold up and be out of the league or bounce around from team to team in the way that he has. But between the two, Goff was the guy who always had more confidence in the sustainability of his career, not just because of the sheer physical talents that are there, but, you know, I did get to, you know, call a bunch of his games in college at Cal and just evaluate up close the sustainability of his personality, of his character, of his, you know, football character, that term that gets thrown around a decent bit. He's as a California kid, maybe he doesn't love playing in the cold weather, but Jared Goff is a tough guy who went through a lot at Cal and helped lift that program out of some doldrums.
Whoa, he played on some bad teams at Cal.
Man, and led them to a bowl game by the end of his time there. Not a lot of pass protection. Sonny Dykes doesn't mind just letting the quarterback get beat up. And he made a bunch of plays while doing that and suffering through some rough times and came out the other side of it. And by Cal football standards, you know, he did some big things while he was there. So I was always really impressed with how he handled himself there in the midst of, you know, that organization, that program being in a difficult spot. And he really got them to a good place at the end of it. So I knew Jared Goff could withstand the difficult times that a number one overall pick inevitably has to deal with, because usually you're going into a very dysfunctional, disruptive circumstance. That's usually what the team is dealing with when they draft number one overall. We didn't anticipate coming into this season that the Bears would end up being as disruptive and dysfunctional and disjointed as this season has turned into. And at 4-2, it didn't feel like that was the case. And now here we are, 9 losses in a row, where we see how disjointed everything seems to be at Halas Hall. 312-644-6767. I'm Anthony Heron. This is the Post Show on the Score. Let me get back out to the phone lines. Let some other voices be heard. Fred is out in Bloomingdale. Let's talk about what's going on with the Bears. What's happening, Fred?
Hey, guys. Good evening. How are you all?
Good evening. Doing great.
So, you know, I was at the game today. I go to all the games. And I have to kind of disagree with Leon, one of your previous callers, because you know what? We're going to show up. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know it. I know it. We all know it. We're going to show up. But I must say, I see some rays of sunshine. I do.
Really?
I see some light at the end of the tunnel. I do. So, but you know, I always have, right? So,
you're a glasses half full kind of guy, huh, Fred?
Yeah. You know, I mean, ever since 85, I'm 72 years old, man. So, you know, I was there. But so here's my question for both of you. And I'm just the guy, and you guys have, you know, you played in the league and et cetera. I want you to close your eyes, and I'll listen to this off the air. Close your eyes.
Eyes are closed.
You are George McCaskey, right? You are the man. You're the owner of the team. What do you want to do? And I'll listen.
All right. And just for some additional background, my impression is Fred is meaning who would I hire as the coach? So George McCaskey is the one who will inevitably end up making this decision. At the press conference, sitting at the table there, Kevin Warren sitting next to Ryan Poles. So that's the Bears' senior brass, just with their day-to-day operations, who will be the ones most directly responsible for going out and finding candidates to be the next Bears head coach, evaluating those candidates who will be the next Bears head coach. But in the end, they will make a recommendation to George McCaskey. You'd imagine Virginia will at least hear the name. Who knows? Maybe it should be a part of the interview process too. But in the end, I think to the caller Fred's point there, George McCaskey will be the one who gets the final sign-off on who they're going to allow to lead the Bears into this next phase of things. My preference, would I prefer it to be an offensive coach? I suppose I would call that a mild preference, because there are some factors that do make that allow for more continuity. If you find an offensive coach who can help develop your young quarterback, have a system in place that doesn't have to change in the immediate future. But I'm certainly not one of these people who feels like that's the only way worth considering. There's a number of defensive coaches throughout football who've had success, who've won a bunch of games, and that will continue to be the case as well. So slight preference to find, you know, a guy with an offensive background, but you know, we've seen recent examples of this, whether you're talking Mark Trestman, Matt Nagy, to get the supposedly innovative offensive mind to come in here and try to run things, that's not the easy answer. It's about the evaluation of that individual. And they failed with Matt Eberflus and hiring him. That evaluation fell short, and the opportunity to adjust, to move on from one offensive coordinator in Luke Getsy, hire the following offensive coordinator in Shane Waldron, they failed even worse, in my opinion, with the Shane Waldron hire than they did with the Matt Eberflus hire. Matt Eberflus has at least been a proven football mind and a commodity in this sport as a defensive strategist. Shane Waldron, for the situation the Bears were in here with a rookie quarterback, and again, I've said this on the station before, just the conversations I had with a few people who had been around Shane Waldron, who had worked with Shane Waldron, who knew how Shane Waldron operated and acted with his players, with his leadership style, I just never thought it was going to suit where the Bears were at. At least I was always concerned that it wouldn't suit where this Bears roster was currently at. And to me, it turned up even more pressure on Matt Eberflus needing to be as dictatorial as possible to make sure that the leadership style that was very loose with Shane Waldron would be something where Eberflus could be the guy on top of details, having his thumb on guys, making sure that they're being held to a certain standard, held to account in a way that Shane Waldron has never been known to be an individual who does.
I remember you saying that preseason, like I was working with you that night, and your words that night haunted me. Because I remember before the 2018 season, you were saying, this offense, I think teams around the league, or 2019, I should say, are starting to figure it out. You were right on that. Yeah. And so when you said that, and then now how it played out, it was clear that Shane Waldron was not that type of take charge guy from the beginning.
And it's unfortunate, and I'm a bit confounding that in, you know, because I'm no insider. But yeah, obviously got friends around the league and people I trust who give me their opinion. But I wasn't the one hiring Shane Waldron. But in the homework I was able to do on Shane Waldron after they hired him, I don't understand how the Bears could come out with that evaluation. And even if they came out with that evaluation, why there weren't fail-safes in place, you know, to make sure that other people on that offensive staff or at the top of the food chain with the head coach, the recognition that this guy essentially is not someone who holds people to account. So the rest of you surrounding Shane Waldron will have to step your game up in that regard. It just doesn't seem that that ended up taking place. See some other callers out there, 312-644-6767. I'm Anthony Herron. Tonight, the Cowboys host the Buccaneers on Sunday Night Football. Pregame coverage is coming up at 6:30 and kickoff at 7:15 right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. I'll take my final time out when I come back. Going to get to these other callers that are here, 312-644-6767, but also, as promised, going to get into some evaluation of this roster, specifically the youth on this roster, because there will be decisions to make for the Bears. Not just guys whose contracts are up, but essentially kind of who's proving that they should be a part of what the Bears will be hoping to build. talk a lot about the coaches, and I've spent a bunch of time doing that. Spent a bunch of time talking about the QB. But those will not be, you know, there's no decision to make on the QB. Caleb's going to be here for the next few years at least. Decisions to make on the other guys on this roster. And 312-644-6767. If you got guys, like we had callers earlier talking about Roma Dunze, the excitement that's there for him, for Caleb, you name it, you want to get involved in that conversation or anything else about the Bears, feel free to give me a call. I'm Anthony Herron, my guy Alex Kuhn on the ones and twos. This is the Post Show on the
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChooseProMavera.com.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Score.
From the 45, Williams, another nice throw. Keenan Allen, touchdown. Back-to-back outstanding throws by Caleb Williams. Hits Allen 45 yards, another Bears TD.
Thanks, Fox Sports. 45-yard touchdown pass, an absolutely beautiful ball with great timing and rhythm from Caleb Williams to Keenan Allen. I'm Anthony Herron. This is the Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score. Alex Kuhn on the other side of the glass for me this evening. Taking you up to Sunday Night Football coverage here on The Score. Tonight, the Cowboys host the Buccaneers on Sunday Night Football. Pregame coverage is coming up at 6:30 and kickoff at 7:15 right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. Plus, you can tune in all day tomorrow for a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Bosch Power Tools and Busey Bank. Mully and Hall will have full reaction to the game starting at 5:30 a.m. I had Alex play that particular play because I think it was just the latest impressive example of when Caleb is at his best. there's positives and negatives to this. Caleb is at his best. Caleb is at his most dangerous in moments of desperation. Now, whether you're talking the fourth quarter of games this season, or you're talking two-minute drills at the end of halves and as the clock is ticking, there can be some quarterbacks. We certainly just saw the example from the last QB, Justin Fields, that didn't operate as well in those scenarios, in the gotta pass it scenarios, or the down multiple scores to throw ourselves back into the game, or specifically in the fourth quarter. Certainly a variety of examples I've talked about over the years here on the station of some of those fourth quarter passes where Fields would hit a receiver in the hands and he'd drop it, or, you know, sacks would be taken or whatever. But for Caleb, he's at his most dangerous in moments of desperation. Now, desperation is a word that could have different levels to it, but when the gravity of the moment, when the clock is ticking, when you're running out of opportunities to execute, to score on offense, to mount drives, that's when Caleb's been at his best, in those moments of what I'll term as desperation. And not just desperation in the way that danger that Caleb Williams presents just comes through as a playmaker. He's scrambling around and using some of those improvisational skills and his talents to throw off platform and do some of those things. He's at his most dangerous even just from within the pocket in those scenarios. That drive at the end of the first half is an example. A variety of games he's played throughout his rookie season in the fourth quarter especially are examples of that as well. Those moments of desperation, Caleb Williams specifically, you know, because there's no reason to assume Thomas Brown is going to be part of anything moving forward here. Whomever is going to be responsible for the continued growth and development of Caleb Williams will need to find a way to harness that and add it to some of the earlier portions of these games. Because as I said when I came on the air here about an hour ago for the post-post show here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, I felt like today in total was one of Caleb's best, most consistently decisive, most consistently accurate games that he's played as an NFL quarterback. It still only led to 17 points, but there are, of course, some reasons for that. Multiple fumbles away early in the game as the Bears were starting to mount some offense. And, of course, you have the defense, the way they struggled, and Detroit ends up getting up by multiple scores. But as proud as Caleb Williams seems to be of the idea of protecting the football, not throwing interceptions, the context of that does matter. There's been a bunch of games, now 9 games, where Caleb hasn't thrown an interception. It's an impressive streak statistically, but in a number of those games, while he's not thrown it to the other team, that's great. You're not throwing interceptions. Other guys in the opposing jerseys aren't catching it. There's also been a number of games where his teammates weren't catching the ball consistently either. The goal of the quarterback is to complete passes to your teammate, to lead drives, to mount offense. Today was an example of the Bears mounting more consistent offense, sustaining drives in a way that they hadn't as much before, and most importantly, picking up chunk plays. The Bears and Caleb Williams only took 2 sacks today, and Caleb didn't throw any interceptions. So it's not only the 0 INTs that matter in the context of how effective Caleb has been in protecting the football, because the ball matters, you know. The ball is the program, is what a lot of coaches will say. Ball security matters quite a bit. But if you're just protecting the ball but going backwards because of sacks, and we know he's on pace for record sack numbers here, then that's not as effective as he needs to be as a QB. So that is a continued opportunity for growth. I thought today was a really good example of some of the eye candy that Thomas Brown was throwing at the opposing defense, the handoffs to wide receivers at different points, the quick game, the passing attack somewhat lateral at different points, but Caleb also advancing the ball vertically. We saw, you know, Alex just played for you, the 45-yarder to Keenan Allen. There was a 25-yarder and another chunk pass play to DJ Moore. There was a 30-yarder to Rome Odunze. So we saw chunk plays with the throw game as well today. So that's where the 0 INTs is nice, but today's game from Caleb Williams and the Bears passing offense was different than many of the other games where he didn't throw interceptions, because he also didn't take sacks. He also got the ball out accurately on time and in rhythm, and it was able to stymie the Detroit pass rush. And they're all beat up and banged up on their defense anyway, but that's a part of what can take the starch and what did take the starch out of the opposing pass rush, out of the opposing defense today. So today's zero column in the interception statistical column, today in context was different than some of the other games where Caleb has thrown zero interceptions. 312-644-6767. We get some other callers in here on the post show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I see Scott out in Arlington Heights. Want to talk about what's happening with these Bears. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Big Ant, I appreciate you getting me on. Listen, I think you put it correctly. Is the Bears don't want to take that next step. And I think it's from the top down, where it'd be the McCaskies, but more importantly, the person in front of operations getting a new stadium. It's a big deal to go and buy your own house. And the Bears haven't had their own house in a long time. They've been renting forever. And they have Arlington, but they just don't want to take that step and own it. And I think they're satisfied with just renting and just being the status quo. And that's what showed this whole season, is that they don't want to take that leap of being a great franchise. They want to promote a coach that I feel bad for Coach Brown right now, because he has been devastated because his legacy is never winning a game as a head coach. So how does he go back to being a offensive coordinator or even just a line coach? It's the Bears have screwed so many things up, and they're going to screw up this Arlington deal. And being an Arlington resident, I see how we're all excited for the Bears to come here. Just do it. Be a franchise. Be a premier franchise. Be the first franchise and come to Arlington Heights. Be that beacon of light in the NFL. And it's this season was devastated in so many different ways, where 4-2, and then they ruined the stadium deal by looking at every possible different. I'm going to look at this garbage dump. Like, no, you own the damn land. Let's go. Let's do it.
I appreciate the excitement from Scott there, who lives in Arlington Heights and is very eager for the Bears to show up there. And, you know, who knows, maybe they still will. Apparently, you know, some portions of that deal from a tax perspective are getting worked out. If that means the stadium ends up there, if it just means they do something else with the land, I certainly don't know. But I appreciate the excitement that Scott has for the Bears to go there. I will say this, and I think the Bears want to be great. I think they want to be great on the field. I'm confident internally they already see themselves as a great franchise. The results on the field are certainly not great in the least. I do believe they want success on the field. They have failed miserably at achieving it, and that's the huge issue. That's where they got to get this thing figured out, is that whether it's been the hire of coaches, the development of players, and as Scott was talking about there, even sort of, you know, enveloping some of the Bears' struggles and failures in with getting the stadium deal done. It's all a part of the organization, so I do believe it's all fair game. But I think the Bears want to be a successful organization. I think they want to be great. That they have constantly not hired and or developed the proper people to put them in positions to do that. And it's been a really intriguing block of callers we've had, where we've kind of had both ends of the spectrum in a variety of ways here. Do the Bears want to be great or do they not? Is there anything positive or is it all glasses half full? It's been an intriguing sort of blend of callers we've had throughout the post show here. 312-644-6767. Told you I wanted to get into some of the youth that's on this roster here with the players on the Bears, because the Bears brass, the decisions that they'll have to make are not only about Caleb Williams. And the reason I had Alex play that particular clip, not only just to talk in context about the game that Caleb had today, but then also the context of who made that particular play. It's been impressive to see the connection that's enhanced, that's evolved between Caleb Williams and Keenan Allen. And Keenan Allen has caught passes from a bunch of different quarterbacks throughout his NFL career. It's funny because DJ Moore is still a fairly young man and young football player. You know, I think Keenan Allen's got him by a handful of years. I'm sure DJ Moore has caught passes from even more quarterbacks than Keenan Allen has, even though Keenan's been in the league significantly longer than DJ Moore. But Keenan Allen is a player who's, you know, 32 years old. He'll be 33 by the start of the next NFL season. it seems unlikely that he'll be back with the Bears moving forward here, but him having 9 grabs in 13 targets for 141 yards and a 45-yard touchdown where he actually got behind the defense, today is an example of the type of game that is beneficial to Keenan Allen to continue extending his NFL career, and not just as a guy who can be on a roster, but extending the idea that he can show up on a team and be a key cog in a passing attack. So it's a really good thing for Keenan Allen, and it's good for Caleb that he's got that experienced and talented receiver to learn from and connect with, and that's developed. Roma Dunze will obviously be in concert with Caleb Williams in the seasons to come here also. Where's the rest of the development in the wide receiver room, though? DJ Moore, obviously a very versatile playmaker, but starting with Roma Dunze, top 10 pick in the draft. I was talking about this with Lawrence the other day when I was filling in on the afternoon show. I loved the point that Lawrence was making back during the preseason about having Caleb Williams as the number one overall pick. It essentially provides a degree of cover for Roma Dunze, and some of that can be positive cover, but in some ways, maybe it's negative cover because Roma Dunze gets to escape a certain degree of scrutiny that, you know, someone like Kevin White never escaped that scrutiny during a lot of the time he spent injured or dropping passes or not getting open during his Bears career. And Roma Dunze, a more developed and more talented, more skilled rookie wide receiver than Kevin White ever became. I don't even know if Kevin White's still in the league right now. But Roma Dunze is a better football player than Kevin White. But Roma Dunze's rookie season has certainly been far from perfect. A number of examples throughout games on the road, games at home. I'd say there's not a receiver in this lineup that's gotten more opportunities at contested grabs where Caleb has been willing to try and fit the ball into coverage to certain playmakers. No one, you could say he's at least attempted those passes to tight window throws and contested grabs more than Roma Dunze. Rome's had drops in the end zone. Rome's had drops in contested pass scenarios. He has also made a number of plays on fourth down. This was just the latest example of Caleb being willing to throw the ball to Roma Dunze on a fourth down today. He's essentially Caleb, you know, Keenan Allen and Roma Dunze, a couple of go-to guys, but there's been a bunch of times where Caleb on a fourth down has been willing to throw really difficult, essentially finesse, touch-type passes to just give a Roma Dunze a chance to adjust to the ball in flight. And that's where, like I was talking about, there are some similarities between the game and the style of play from Roma Dunze and DJ Moore, but he's really got a blend. He's really this blend of a unique blend. He's got some DJ Moore type skills, but he's also got some Keenan Allen type skills where Roma Dunze is not a small receiver, but he's got almost this sort of balletic-like ability to adjust the ball in flight, to contort his body, and confident to extend his hands away from his frame to make grabs. And so after a couple of fumbles in the game today, those are the most obvious mistakes that Roma Dunze has made at any point so far his rookie season. Some of the other drops that I've talked about at different points on the station here this season have gone under the radar because there are such bigger and feeling like more pressing storylines of Caleb's inconsistencies and the coaching staff and the offensive struggles and everything else. In the midst of that, there have been some Roma Dunze drops. There have been some Roma Dunze, you know, sort of, you know, foibles and not necessarily seeming like he consistently separates from defenders and things like that. And now today you got a couple of fumbles. Roma Dunze is a very talented wide receiver. Would he be perceived even better? Would his development be further along if Keenan Allen weren't here? I don't know that that's necessarily the case, not with any certainty, but he would certainly have more targets, more opportunities in this offense. And there'd be more scrutiny because he would be one of a couple of playmakers as opposed to one of a bunch of playmakers. And you're wondering, how come this guy didn't get the football more? How come that guy didn't get the football more? So much conversation about Cole Kmet and the targets that he gets and everything else. How about Roma Dunze, your top 10 pick at wideout? The amount of targets and touches he has and hasn't gotten here. So that's just one player. But Keenan Allen getting that 45-yard touchdown catch and run, it highlights to me the idea that a guy like Tyler Scott, in his second year in the National Football League, hasn't fired a shot in year two. They've got nothing out of Tyler Scott so far this season. A guy they didn't draft, who they have signed, though, added to the active roster, Colin Johnson. A big-bodied, seemingly physically talented receiver But the development of a couple of those young guys, it's really good for Keenan Allen to see the game he had today, the totality of that production, and what he's just been throughout his NFL career. But Keenan Allen catching 45-yard touchdown passes in a game like the one that was played today, it was a nice anticipatory and very accurate pass, a laser from Caleb, a hole shot. So it's a good thing for Caleb. You could certainly make the case that you'd be better off with if Tyler Scott is the guy catching that pass. Say, okay, the youth of the receiver room looks good. The depth of the youth of that receiver room looks great. Tyler Scott, kick returner, getting the opportunity there. Doesn't do much there. Hadn't done anything as a pass receiver. Colin Johnson, getting an opportunity. Special teams, wide receiver. Had one target today. Didn't come up with that grab. So as far as just looking at the youth, the development of that room, you do wonder, all right, assume Keenan Allen isn't here next year. Who is that number three target? Do they have to go get somebody else to be that third dependable receiving option? Because right now, doesn't look like there's anyone in-house you can count on being that individual. The offensive line. I was talking about Karan Amagaji a bit earlier in the show here, and I'll have a chance to talk about him and the O-line in more detail here moving forward. But the development of some of the youth of that offensive line. Now, Tevin Jenkins is in year four, but they have a big decision to make on Jenkins. His injury history is just littered with missed action after missed action. Braxton Jones, big decisions will need to be made there. And him getting banged up and, you know, seemingly as ugly as things appeared to be, wouldn't imagine we'll see Braxton Jones again this season. But he's the type of player with all the starts he's had throughout his Bears career. Then is he brought back potentially as a depth piece, at least? If nothing else, you got to have some competition at left tackle for Braxton Jones, assuming that he'll be able to be healthy at some point. And that's a big assumption because I have no idea what his injury was from the game today. Thomas Brown told the media afterwards that he hadn't gotten any reports on if Braxton Jones had to go to the hospital or anything afterwards too. But if Braxton Jones is in the mix next year, you got to have someone else who's at least available to compete, if not someone else who you bring in to be the starter instead of Braxton Jones. That development of some of the youth that will be there on the O-line, you've got to make sure there is more competition there up front. I disagreed during the preseason when Ryan Poles was talking about how this was the deepest group that he had had in his time here in Chicago. Like, that might be a statement that is accurate, but it didn't speak to me to be a statement that was accurate in terms of the quality of depth on this offensive line. So a lot that will have to be adjusted there moving forward here. More depth at running back. Roschon Johnson, it's nice to see him back in the lineup. He's wearing the Guardian cap in the game today. You know, I know Roschon Johnson has an urgent and somewhat exciting running style. Roschon Johnson is not a big play playmaker, at least early in his NFL career. He hasn't shown himself capable of being that. You need more at tailback. You need more at running back for the Bears. DeAndre Swift is his particular style of back. Excellent in the open field. We know what he is at this point in his NFL career, though. But what Khalil Herbert began becoming for the Bears, at least a guy who was a young playmaker at back, you've got to have as you move this thing forward here. It can't just be assuming development of Roschon Johnson into something that he didn't necessarily even show himself to be in college, let alone during his time in the NFL. But he is a physical back, a battering ram, a quality pass protector. So he can be a depth piece. But you will need more running back for the Bears moving forward here. But I'm on throughout the week here on The Score. Get into the defensive side of the football also, because that's where the evaluation of this team will need to be. How much of the youth on this roster is showing that they're developing in a way where this Bears roster will be situated to win in the years to come? A lot of worthwhile questions about that as you evaluate where things sit with this ball club. Tune in all day tomorrow for a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Bosch Power Tools and Busey Bank. Mullion Hall will have full reaction to the game starting at 5:30 a.m. Going to get out of the way for Sunday Night Football as the Cowboys host the Buccaneers. Pre-game is on the way here, and you'll hear the game itself at 7:15 on The Score and the Odyssey app. I'm Anthony Heron. Thanks to my guy Alex Kuhn, who's been running the board for me on the ones and twos throughout the evening. Appreciations and salutations for all of you listening to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K-12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.